As I got another rhyme, another rhythm for y'all to listen. I'm never quitting on my mission, I'ma roll with what I'm giving. Got some ambition, this new addition, filling positions. Looking at the void in myself and feeling what's missing. Better watch the way you're going, better go in the right direction. In the moment you stressing, but you gon' be counting blessings. And I know that for certain, keep on working, open curtains. Haters swerving, cause they ain't ready for your final version. Whoa.
This is Harry Groves and you're listening to WMHHLP 103.5 FM New Haven.
This next segment, we're going to deal with emergency rental assistance. And the world is, in, as I say, whether it's Adam and Eve days or whether it's even before recorded history, there's issues about what does it mean to be on the planet and to survive. And even if you're from the biblical standpoint, in terms of Christ, there was an issue about the room at the inn. So not to be too metaphorical, but I think we have on the line here, we have Margaret, we have Aaron, and we might be joined by, I believe, a few other folks. But Aaron, maybe kick us off until we get some of your comrades kind of join us as well about emergency rental assistance. And if you can just unmute yourself, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for hosting this segment. It's an issue that I know a lot of tenants are facing, which is that they have not been able to pay the rent as the result of the COVID-19 pandemic and its effect on their jobs and their ability to earn money. We're going to talk about the new program that Connecticut has stood up called Unite CT, which is designed to get money into the hands of tenants and landlords, both for rent arrearage and for electrical arrearages. Margaret Middleton is here. She's the executive director of Columbus House. She's going to talk about the extent of the problem that we're seeing and the issues that her agency is dealing with on behalf of tenants. And then I'll get into some of the details about the program itself.
Excellent. Margaret, I think you've been invited to kind of share kind of your wisdom and your passion with us. Let's hear from Margaret Middleton from the Columbus House.
Well, thanks so much, Tom. It is really a huge pleasure to be on your show. And it was such a treat to spend part of the morning listening to young people who are so enthusiastic and insightful. So, you know, thanks for having us on this morning and letting us talk about this program. I'm the CEO of Columbus House. So nice to meet your listeners who may be familiar with our work. We support people experiencing homelessness in New Haven, Middlesex, Hartford, and New London counties. I wanted to give a little bit of the local perspective before Aaron is really prepared to talk about the details of the program. We're really, you know, prior to the pandemic, New Haven was really in a considerable affordable housing crisis. It's estimated that 50% of tenants in New Haven are cost burdened, meaning they are housing cost burdened, meaning they spend more than 30% of their income on their rent. Housing is really like one of the social justice issues of our moment. And like everything else in the pandemic really highlighted just how deep this problem is in our community. And so when people have had these, when their livelihoods and their lifestyles have been upended, people's ability to pay rent has been really devastated. And it's being compounded by the fact that we actually have a lot of people moving into Greater New Haven because they're moving out of New York City and other more concentrated urban places. And so our housing market is actually getting tighter at a moment when a lot of people are experiencing difficulty paying rent.
Good point.
We also are facing the end of the eviction moratorium, and no one can tell you what's going to happen when the eviction moratorium ends. But we do want to get the word out to people about rental assistance that's available so that we can stave off, you know, as much sort of trauma and displacement as happens through an eviction. So one thing I would say before, well, a couple things before I turn it over to Aaron to talk about the details. One is that this is a plea not just for tenants to sign up, but very much for landlords to participate. We really need landlords to recognize that participating in this program, despite the fact that there is a lot of paperwork and it takes a lot of steps, is really doing part of maintaining the stability and health of our community. This is not just about sort of an individual tenant and their need to stay housed, although that's like of utter importance. it's really about the health of our community and what it's going to mean for our community if we have widespread eviction. The destabilization and really decimation of our community that we'd experience. I do have the numbers, Tom, for people to call, so you can go online. Yeah, so I thought I would give those numbers now, let Aaron talk more about the details of the program, and then maybe if you were willing, let me do it again at the end, since then people may want to write it down.
I'm more than willing. Harry will kick us off the air around 11:55, so we'll go until then.
Okay, great. Well, I want to turn over to Aaron because she knows literally everything, and I'm just the like... right now I'm doing the need statement, but I'm moving into the place where we can actually be helpful. It's not me, by the way, being helpful. This is a federal program, federal money that's coming through a state agency. The two entities in Greater New Haven where people can call, so people can go online and do this application on their own. If they need assistance, because it's quite documentation heavy and it can be confusing, there are two places in New Haven you can call and get an appointment to get assistance in filling out the application. Mm-hmm. One of those places is Neighborhood Housing Services. The phone number for Neighborhood Housing Services is 203-562-9668. I think I'm going to say that again. It's 203-562-9668.
Great.
And the second group that is providing this assistance is the Urban League of Southern Connecticut. And that phone number is 203-577-8607. And I'll just say that one more time. It's the Urban League of Southern Connecticut. And the phone number is 203-577-8607. I'm happy to speak more about sort of the local, you know, impact of this like moment of housing crisis that we're in. If you have questions, Tom, and I'll turn it over to Aaron to speak more specifically about the program that's.
So before I begin about the program, I do want listeners to understand or bust a myth that a lot of tenants we find are believe. One is that the eviction moratorium prevents a landlord from evicting them. In fact, there are so many holes in the eviction moratorium. There are, in fact, four exceptions that would allow a landlord to evict a tenant that we're seeing the rate of evictions go up at more than 100 a week. Boy. We're almost back to the point where we were a year or 2 years ago before the pandemic started. And so if a tenant owes more than 6 months worth of rent, they can be evicted. In addition to that, if they are causing a serious nuisance, they can be evicted. And if the landlord wants to move into their unit because the unit is because the landlord is losing their own housing, they can be evicted. Mm. So the myth is that there isn't any eviction being filed, and in fact, that's not true. So what happens if you do owe rent? The program is called Unite CT, and the only way to apply is online. So the two agencies that Margaret mentioned are agencies that can help a tenant go online and do an application. When that happens, there is no way for the tenant to be able to call a phone number and do the application over the phone. That's a change from the way the eviction prevention program was run prior to the 1st of January of 2021. This is a completely automated system, and we're very concerned, as is the Department of Housing, that tenants, as a result of the digital divide, are not going to be able to put in applications online. One of the things that DOH is doing is it is having a tech bus go around to various parts. I have parts of the state. I have the link up in front of me right now. And unfortunately, there isn't any place in Hartford or New Haven County. I take that back. There's no place in New Haven or Hartford County that the bus is going to stop. The bus will be in Waterbury at 1 p.m. on April 21st. And I don't have the exact location, but if you call the general information number for Unite CT, they can tell you where the bus is going to stop. And the number that they need to call in order to find out where the bus is going to stop is 844-864 8328. So I'll say it one more time. If you want to know where the bus is going to stop or to get a referral to an agency that can help you fill out a form online, the number is 844-864-8328.
Excellent. Excellent.
Now, what does the program actually do? The program is designed to give tenants up to $10,000 in both rental arrearage and future rent payments, as well as $1,500 to put toward their arrearage on the electric bill. How is that going to work? Once a tenant applies, they're eligible to receive up to 6 months of the rental arrearage. So the landlord can get paid back for up to 6 months of what is owed. The only requirement for the landlord on that in that case is that they take a 15% haircut, meaning that, for instance, if the tenant owes $1,000 in rent, the landlord will get $850 from Unite CT. And while that may seem like it's unfair, remember that if the landlord were to go to court and bring an eviction case, there's no guarantee they would get any of that money back. Because in fact, the landlord can only get what the tenant has. And so I think what Department of Housing decided is that in order to be able to pay the most people for the most amount of rent, they'd ask the landlords to contribute a little bit here. And that money, the 6 months of rental arrearage, is paid in a lump sum. In addition to that, if the full $10,000 is not used, then the tenant can get paid rent for the future. So let's go back to the tenant who owes $1,000. Unite CT is going to pay $850 toward the arrearage. The tenant will have $9,150 left, and that can be paid to the landlord for future rent. And they'll get that in 3 month increments.
Excellent. You know, Aaron, just as you were chatting, it seems to me that I need to have you on the show just to talk about your, because I mean, your organization has been around for, I believe, 15 years, but I'm not my guess.
25 years.
And after this crisis there, you know, there's going to be other crises as well. So this is a public appeal and invitation for you to come back.
Thank you. Because
there will be some
you know, one of the reasons my agency got into doing landlord-tenant work, we hadn't done much of it before the pandemic. What we were really doing was helping people who thought that they were the victims of housing discrimination. But one of the things we recognized very early in the pandemic is that the eviction crisis is a racial justice crisis. People of color rent their homes at the rate of 3 to 1 to people who are white. So when the courts open up again and all of the eviction moratoriums are ended, when we go into court, it is going to be a sea of people who are African American, Latino, Asian. There are going to be very few white people there. And what we're looking at, and I think what Margaret was talking about at the beginning, is a lot of people losing the stability that they need in order to raise their families, in order to keep jobs, and in order to keep prevent the spread of the COVID-19 virus again.
Right. Margaret, let's come back to you. We have about 12 more minutes, and this is such an important topic. So there's things that people need to do immediately, and there's things we need to do in the long term. I mean, it's just 24/7, 365. We just have to act so proactively and strategically. And this segment really, I think, helps people to kind of understand how we can act strategically as well as deal with the immediate opportunities. So Margaret, share with us some more.
You know, I appreciate that perspective a lot, because you're absolutely right that Unite CT and this rental assistance is sort of the most emergent, like short-term thing we could possibly do to try to stabilize this moment of crisis. But we're actually in a once in a generation moment in terms of the money that's about to come into the state of Connecticut and all states through the American Rescue Plan in terms of our ability to create additional affordable housing options for people. And as I mentioned before about the high rate of rent burdened households in the city of New Haven, housing costs are driving so much of the intergenerational poverty that we see. And when I say driving it, I mean, as Aaron pointed out, really what's underneath that to a huge extent is a racial disparity, because in my line of work, which is serving people who are experiencing homelessness, African-Americans are grossly overrepresented in that population compared to their you know, portion of the population as a whole. And so, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic that we will see some of the federal funding that's coming in to the state of Connecticut be used to create lasting and important additions to the affordable housing opportunities that we have in the state. And really, the unfortunate reality is it's basically not possible for it to be enough, because the estimate of the number of units that we would need for every extremely low income person to be affordably housed is over 80,000 units. I mean, we are so far behind. And so it's been really heartening. I think this legislative session does see so much of the conversation be around zoning and these like very, you know, very, very structural barriers we have to creating the affordable housing we need for everybody to be stably housed. I mean, I'm a big believer that housing, you know, home is the sort of essential thing, right? It's like food, water, and a safe, affordable place to live. A place to lay your head, a place to raise your kids. And so if as a society, like it's also something that as a society, we can sort of like really all understand and get behind as being something that we as people have a right to, right? That like we can like pretty uniformly agree that people shouldn't be sleeping outside. And so I'm grateful to you for giving a moment, you know, for that thought and sort of the support that I'm sure your listeners have given over the years to Columbus House and our effort to end homelessness in our community. So one of the things that we can do in the short term is help people get connected to this money. And, you know, what we really would love to see is to have people, you know, volunteer to get trained in helping people with this program, and also make sure that we have enough outreach and events to get the word out to people who are not computer savvy, because the fact that this is an online only program will be of incredible barrier to people accessing this money. And as Aaron has mentioned, like this is a rich benefit. Like this is a this is not a small chunk of change that's on offer to people. And so we need to pull out all the stops to make sure that people who are eligible for this have the help they need to get through the application process.
Absolutely. Share again the telephone numbers for people to kind of.
Yes, absolutely. So the two agencies that are providing assistance right now. So I would just say that folks should not sort of show up at Neighborhood Housing Services looking for help. They definitely need to have an appointment. COVID is still in effect. And so people are able to get assistance, but it's going to be on an appointment basis. So the two places people can call are Neighborhood Housing Services of New Haven. That's 203-562-9668. Again, that's Neighborhood Housing Services at 203-562-9668. And then the second place that can do this, like really assist people who need help with these forms, is the Urban League of Southern Connecticut, 203-577-8607. That's 203-577-8607. And I would encourage your listeners also to reach out to neighbors and family members who they think may need this assistance, because if you're 25 and live on a computer all day, you're going to be able to help, you know, your elderly neighbor with this. And you might even be able to sit through an online training and help them with this. So it's not just a matter of calling, you know, these nonprofits which are providing this service, but also each of us making ourselves available to the extent that we can to our neighbors who need this help. And really bugging the people we know who are landlords. Like if you know a landlord, let them know that they have to be part of this solution. This is not a tenant only program. Aaron will tell you, tenants can't just sign up for this, get the check and hand it over to the landlords. The landlords have to be involved in the application. The landlords get the money paid to them directly. So landlords have to be signed on.
You know, just as you're speaking, I'm thinking I should maybe reach out to some landlords and have them on the show. Is there a time frame here? Is it just that once the money, the pot is gone, is what's the allocation, the time frame? How long will the money be potentially available? Does it depend on the number of folks that are applying or that are accepted? What's the process?
So right now, the Department of Housing, the state of Connecticut, has $235 million to hand out. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of people. We learned on Wednesday that the average rental arrearage that is being where payment is being requested is between $5,000 and $6,000. So that is not as high as we thought it would be. We thought it's very clear that people have been making an attempt to pay rent during this time. But in addition to that, the ARP program, American Rescue Plan program that Margaret just referred to, is going to put another tranche of money into this program. We don't know how much yet, and we don't know when, but we think that there's going to be a significant amount of money for people to be able to access. This is not like the previous emergency rental assistance program called TRAP, where the money ran out or they were unable to hand out all of the money before the money was taken away. This is going to go on for a while. Let me give you the website that people can go to in order to get more information about the program. It's www.bit.ly/UniteCT. www.bit.ly/UniteCT. I wish it was a little easier to get to the program, but honestly, I've used that link a lot. It works very well. It will get you there.
Excellent, Aaron and Margaret. Let's talk. When I say talk about the problem of doing these live shows is you can't always rehearse what you want to say, and I've been known to kind of have things leave my mouth and then kind of want to see if I can addend them. But Sayla is a good friend, our current commissioner of housing. And of course, I've known her in terms of her New Haven efforts. Do we want to kind of give a shout out to her or to talk about how her department is trying to make this happen for everyone?
Go ahead, Aaron.
Go ahead, Margaret. I was just going to say, go ahead, Margaret.
Well, absolutely, Tom. I mean, people probably don't realize how small the Department of Housing is relative to other departments in the state of Connecticut. So the fact that they're trying to push, hundreds of millions of dollars out the door quickly is a major undertaking for the Department of Housing, no question. I'd also recognize the department, Tom, for the incredible work that they've done around supporting people experiencing homelessness during COVID. We have been at Columbus House able to support people in hotels for a full year. We've had very little COVID transmission and COVID positivity among our clients as a result, not to mention the fact that they've been able to enjoy a quality of life that's actually improved from what we're usually able to do. Thanks to federal funding that Department of Housing has been the stewards of and allocated, we were able to run shelters that are normally, nighttime only sort of very limited operations. We were able to run them 24/7 out of the hotels this winter, both in New Haven and in Middletown. And as a result of that, a lot more people will actually move into permanent housing. So instead of these being sort of very minimal, minimally funded programs that just sort of keep people warm and provide them with, a place of respite from snow, they really were gateways to people moving into permanent housing. Mm-hmm. So we've worked incredibly closely with DOH on that, and they've been our partners in using the federal funds that have come in that are COVID related in ways that have really helped us support our clients. So we have been grateful to them for that.
Aaron?
And I would also say that the Department of Housing has used some of its administrative money. So in addition to the $235 million that it received to hand out to tenants, the Department of Housing has also used $1 million of that to contract with the legal services programs, right, to do more representation. We are also asking them to support a right to counsel for all people who are in eviction, using some of the money that they hope to get from the Department of Housing. We think that that is likely to be passed by the legislature.
Right.
And so we're asking them to do that. And I think they recognize, you know, they have been clear that legal services is an important partner in ensuring that people don't end up in Margaret's caseload of people who are homeless.
We want to put Margaret out of business. We want to put Margaret.
That's
out
right.
Of
business. That's right.
I can't overstate that. When you were saying, Aaron, how old is Connecticut Fair Housing? I was thinking to myself, you know, Columbus House was founded in 1982. We're coming up on our 40th birthday of Columbus House, and I can't overstate that. My greatest dream would be that Columbus House goes out of business. As a shelter, Columbus House actually supports over 300 people in units of permanent supportive housing. We've helped over 480 people move into permanent housing since the pandemic started. So we do a lot more than emergency shelter, but the day that we, you know, turn the emergency shelter into something else will be, you know, a huge day of celebration in this community.
Excellent. We have about two more minutes, everybody. And Harry, our station manager, will play the music. And once that music starts, that's our cue. In fact, it's not only a cue. No one will be able to hear us. They'll just hear the music. So let's.
I like the music, Tom.
Thank you. So let's push the envelope. We have about a minute and a half. Any closing comments or thoughts?
Aaron, do you have?
Actually, I do. I think that one of the things that my agency does is a history of fair housing in over the last 100 years. And unfortunately, one of the things that shows is that every time there has been a major economic crisis, whether we're talking about the Depression, about the housing crisis after World War II, about the housing meltdown in 2008, every single time people who are white came out fine. The programs that were designed assisted people who are white, and people who of color slipped further down the economic ladder and were further unable to have the housing that we needed, that they need. And I just hope that this is not going to be another example.
Listen, I'm never quitting on my mission. I'ma roll with what I'm giving. Got some ambition, this new addition, filling positions. Looking at the void in myself and feeling what's missing. Better watch the way you're going. Better go in the right direction. In the moment, you're stressing, but you're going
to count
your
blessings. And I know that for certain. Keep on working, open curtains, haters swerving, because they ain't ready for your final version.
I'm never going to give up.